Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brilliant reporter for the press of Atlantic City, Mike McGarry, joins us. What's up, Mike? How you been, man?
Hey, John. How are you?
So, Mike, it's been a while since we've kind of caught up on things, and more particular, had our conversations just in general about the sports scene in the two major cities. So, Mike, let's start with baseball. I need to start with the Phillies in particular. A lot of ups, a lot of downs thus far this season, but they were on a five-game win streak going into Saturday. Then a crippling loss Saturday evening, which spiraled into Sunday. Mike, to this point, who were the Phillies?
Good question. Kind of amazed this morning. You know, they have the same exact record as the Los Angeles Dodgers, which if you had told me that, you know, in March, I would have said would be a good thing right now. Instead, it's kind of a mediocre thing. I think they're a team that you see is capable of winning a couple games in a row. And they're a team that is going to avoid long losing streaks because I think they have really three really good pitchers at the top of their rotation. But I think they are what they are right now, which is kind of one step up, two steps back, two steps up, one step back. I think, you know, what you see 18 and 17 so far is what you're going to get the rest of the season, basically.
So you covered Joe Girardi in New York, and he has been under a lot of heat thus far this season. Understandably, some suspect decisions within a game, sticking with guys, in particular certain pitchers who he shouldn't. Like, when you covered him in New York, when he was with the Yankees, was he, in hindsight, was he more of a benefactor of having future Hall of Famers at key positions, or did he know the right buttons to push?
I think a combination of both. I mean, he was kind of known for being a really good, manager handling his bullpen, right? But it's really kind of easier to manage a bullpen that has Mariano Rivera, the greatest closer of all time, at the back end. So that makes you pretty smart as far as managing a bullpen. So I believe it was a combination of both. I think Girardi, so far, his time in Philadelphia has been solid. It hasn't been great. It hasn't been, you know, a disaster. There have been some moves. The lineup card snafu last week, forgetting that he had gone out to the mound in the Wheeler start earlier this season. But overall, he's been solid. But I don't think he's been the difference maker so far that a lot of Phillies fans thought he would have been coming into the season.
Yeah, and I would agree, Mike. And strangely enough, at this moment in time, approaching the quarter pole, the Phillies and Mets are duking it out for the division lead, which I can't imagine many expected. I need to ask you about the Mets, Mike. They haven't played as many games as the Phillies because they had that whole COVID outbreak. But can that Mets squad sustain this early success?
Yeah, I mean, if the Mets can get out of their own way, I know we like to think there's a lot of drama with the Phillies in Philadelphia, but look at the Mets. I mean, you correctly point out they are in first place in the National League East by a game over the Phillies and Braves. However, they already this season, they fired the hitting coach. They had that whole rat raccoon Jeff McNeil.
What the heck was that about, Mike? That was insane.
It was insane. Obviously, you have two players there, Lindor and McNeil, both off to slow starts. Lindor, the big guy, signs a $341 million contract. I think frustration on both their parts, lack of communication over a ground ball on Friday night. Next thing you know, they're down in the tunnel. Michael Conforto is sprinting down the tunnel. The TV cameras are showing it. And then afterwards on the post-game Zoom, Francisco Lindor comes out and says they were arguing you know, they spotted some sort of rodent in the clubhouse, in the tunnel, and they were arguing whether it was a rat or raccoon. The team has kind of embraced it a little bit, throwing pictures of rats and raccoons up on scoreboard. Whatever it was, the Mets swept Arizona. They won 5 in a row, and Lindor, who was in an 0-for-26 streak, has seen his average rise from like 154 to 197 and went 5-for-11 in the series, hit a big home run. So,
yeah.
You know, the Mets, there's always drama with the Mets. They can't seem to get out of their own way sometimes. But I do think they're capable of sustaining this. And what people should watch for is they're going to get two really good pitchers back soon from injuries. They're going to get Seth Lugo, a nice bullpen piece, back in May. And they should get Noah Syndergaard back to bolster that starting rotation in June. So that would bode well for the New York Mets. And you got to figure that Lindor is going to continue. He's not going to hit 197. Conforto's off to a slow start, batting like in the 230s. He's going to hit. So I think the Mets are pointing in a, you know, their trend is upwards basically at this point.
All right, Mike, let's move to basketball. We spent many nights together at the Wells Fargo Center waiting for the moment the Sixers would become a top contender in their conference. Well, they're there. I mean, they're on the verge of clinching the Eastern Conference, be the number one seed. But the excitement level, Mike, from the fan base appears to be not what it should be. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think there's a couple of reasons there. First of all, I think it's just a wacky NBA season, right? It seems like the Sixers are playing a game every night or every other night. So you can't get any, you know, you can't really take stock of the team. And I really think this team has questions that I think the fans are smart. They know the Sixers have questions that can only be answered in the postseason. They can't be answered in the regular season anymore. You know, what type of offensive player is Ben Simmons going to be in the fourth quarter of playoff games? Can Joel Embiid be healthy enough to withstand a 2 to 3 month playoff run? Is George Hill, the addition of George Hill, enough to put him over the top, or should they have done more, you know, at the trade deadline? Matisse Thybul, is his defense going to make him more valuable in the playoffs, or are his offensive limitations going to kind of, you know, negate his value as a player in the playoffs? Those are questions that can't be answered on a Saturday night at the Wells Fargo Center against the Detroit Pistons. They can be answered in the playoffs in the next couple of weeks, and I think the fans know that, you know. And plus, we've kind of been through it before, right? They're on the verge of winning 50 games for the third time in 4 years. So, you know, it's not the innocent climb anymore. We've seen this. Hey, they're a good regular season team. The question now is, can they take the next step? And I think people are kind of, you know, taking a wait-and-see attitude for when the playoffs come.
Well, Mike, you also have spent many nights at Madison Square Garden, the Barclays Center. Knicks, a great defensive team who have surprised many. The Nets were declared the default winner of the Eastern Conference months ago. Mike, I'm asking you to look ahead. Who do you think will ultimately come out of the East?
Well, I still think as long as the Brooklyn Nets have their three guys, Durant, Harden, and Irving, my money is still on the Brooklyn Nets. I just think in a close game in the fourth quarter of an NBA game, 4 minutes left, tie score, I mean, those three guys are going to be tough to stop, tough for any defense to stop. So if those three guys are healthy, and Brooklyn has kind of managed their season for those three guys to be healthy, I think Brooklyn's going to be tough to stop. I mean, Saturday night was a perfect example of what's good about Brooklyn and what's not good about Brooklyn. I was getting text tweets from Sixers fans. Hey, look at the Brooklyn Nets. They gave up 70 points to the Denver Nuggets. You know, you can't win with a defense like that, yada, yada, yada. Next thing you know, Brooklyn comes back to win that game, 125-119. Durant and Irving both have more than 30 points. So that's kind of what the dilemma Brooklyn presents. But as far as the team coming out of the East, if those three guys are healthy, I just don't see any team being able to stop them in the East right now. And it is a big if, so we'll see.
So, Mike, finally, we have to go to NFL football. Just how mad were the Giants when the Eagles moved up to select Devontae Smith?
Well, I think it's the continuation of the rivalry, right? You know, you go back to what happened against the Washington football team in the final game of the season where they put Sudsy in and the Giants fans' heads explode in the fourth quarter of that game, right? And now the Eagles kind of, trump them. They go up, they get Devontae Smith. The Giants got to adjust. They got to trade back. You know, there's a lot of Giant fans that when that NFL schedule is announced, I believe on Wednesday night, they wouldn't mind seeing the Eagles in week one. Maybe a continuation of that rivalry right there. And you know, it's been a long time since the Giants and Eagles rivalry has had some juice, mostly due to the fact that I think the Eagles have won 21 of the last 26 games against the Giants. So, you know, the Giants a little bit frustrated by the Eagles, but, you know, it's nice to see some juice back in that rivalry, and it would be nice to see when that schedule is announced on Wednesday, maybe an early season matchup between the two teams, and we can kind of capitalize on, you know, the last game of last season and the draft maneuvers between the two teams.
Final question I have for you, Mike. There has been and will continue to be a lot of debate as to whether the Eagles, with a brand new, very enthusiastic head coach, can rebuild and compete in the NFC East this fall. Mike, can they?
You know, I think they can to a degree. I don't think the division is going to, you know, we all know what the division was last year, but I don't think the division is going to drastically improve this season. So I think, you know, I don't think all of a sudden you're going to see an NFC East team win the division with 12 wins or something like that. However, I will say this. I think the Washington football team and the Giants have been so bad for so long that they've drafted enough quality players that those two teams will take another step forward this season. So I still think this is a year where, you know, I would expect those two teams to kind of be ahead of the Eagles. But again, who knows? You know, there's so many questions about the Eagles, the new coach, Jalen Hurts at quarterback. What kind of impact will Devontae Smith have? So a lot of questions there. But I don't think they're going to be in the race, because I don't think anybody is going to run away with the NFC East, basically.
Mike McGarry does a brilliant job covering sports both in Philly and New York. For links to all his stories and the latest news, you should be following him on Twitter. If you don't, shame on you, at AC Press McGarry. Mike, thanks, man. Good catching up.
Hey, John, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks, Mike. So,
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.